Managing your home finances can feel pretty lonely, like when you look at your bank account and wonder where your paycheck went, or when the gap between your income and expenses just keeps shrinking. You might feel like you're the only one dealing with that. I'm Carly Hill, and on the Debt-Free Mom podcast, we talk with women and families about confidently managing your money. From saving to budgeting to caring for the things we own, we find practical ways to move from feeling stuck to stable with our money. Join the conversation on the Debt-Free Mom podcast.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. We're back for part two, where I continue the conversation with doula Chanel Hogue. Last week, Chanel and I talked a lot about what a doula is, how is it different from a midwife, what can you expect for the support that you'll get for your family and yourself when you hire a doula. There's postpartum doulas, which I didn't even know was a thing. So it was just a really interesting and very knowledge-heavy conversation. And this week, we're getting into a little bit more about actual birth experiences through clients that Chanel has had in the past. We talk about twin births that she's had, unmedicated. A lot of her specialty, or a lot of women come to it because they are interested in unmedicated natural birth. So if that's something you're interested in, we come with a whole lot of things on that. And we also talk about breached birth. So I was lucky. I kind of teased this in the first episode, but I didn't have a doula for either one of my births. The first one, I was 23, living like 23-year-old. I didn't even know what doula was. Okay, let's just be real. And then for the second ones, my twins, it was in COVID. I feel like I could say less. Enough said. Like, it was in COVID. Okay, there was a lot going on. I didn't think about that either. I don't even think a doula could be with me in the room. It was in COVID. But I was very lucky. After three OBs, I found a medical professional, my doctor, who really listened to me and advocated for me and actually told me that a breech birth with twins was even possible. And there was four reasons why it was, so that she told me. So the first was that twin B was the only baby that was breached. Like, had twin A been breached, she wouldn't have done a vaginal birth. But since twin A was head down and baby B was breached, that was A. Check off the list. It's possible. Two, this was not my first vaginal birth. I had a son. So there was like proof that my body and my vaginal canal was going to work like it was supposed to, because we had already done it before. Point two, twin B was smaller or the same size as twin A. So like twin A had to be the bigger baby. Like if twin B was way bigger than twin A, they wouldn't have done it. I think something happens with the vaginal canal. It just tries to close after one baby's born. So twin B has to be either bigger or around. No, twin A has to be bigger, y'all. I'm saying it wrong. Twin A has to be bigger or around the same size as twin B for them to do this. And the fourth reason, which is probably the biggest reason, was that she had done breech births before. I actually was lucky enough to find a medical professional that A, listened to me and had experience with it, right? And had knowledge around it, which is something that's very hard to find. It's something that if you were to hire a doula, they would help you find. So there was just all these things that came into place. I was very lucky and blessed to have this beautiful vaginal birth for my twins. But your girl would have the medication, okay? I did not go epidural free. We talk about that a little bit more. But anyways, I hope you all enjoy this episode. We also get into what it looks like to find the right doula. Like, if this is something you really want to go and invest in for your family, where do you even start? What do you even look for? What are the qualifications you look for? So I really hope you all enjoy, and let's get into it. So, okay, you kind of touched upon like some of the experience you had, like this free birth thing. I just found out what that was. I'm sure you've had so many powerful stories of some of the families you supported. Is there any that like stick out to you that you think our listeners would really get something from?
Yeah. So actually, so there's a few, and I know, yeah, I'll talk about the twin one first, because I know there's a lot of like, yes, twin moms listening. So this is a mom who I was able to work through my coaching program with, and she took my course and was able to really like get the coaching and ask questions when she needed to. But her and her partner did the birth on their own. Like they didn't have me virtual with them on the day of. They didn't have a doula, to my knowledge, in person with them on the day of. And they were able to take all the knowledge that they took and that they learned to have this unmedicated twin birth in a birth center. And so she was amazing. I mean, she was very much a believer. So her faith took a big role in her birthing experience, but it was just so beautiful. And I posted about this a while ago, so you can kind of see her video and her babies be born. But she had a water birth and one baby came out, and then I think maybe one person like took the first baby A, and then baby B was born. And then she had both of them on her chest. And it was just one of those things that was, it just reminds me. And that's just one story. I'll share another one.
Yeah.
Just one of those things that we have to understand as women, whether you're a twin mom, whether you're a singleton mom, whether you are a VBAC mom, whether you are considered high risk, like your body still works.
Yes.
It still knows what to do. And yes, there are moments in time where we do need medical intervention. Like that is why it's there. It should be there for the medical reason and need of medical intervention. But I think we hear the word high risk because we work off of these labels all the time that we're like, and now you walk around with your babies in your pregnancy and you're like on edge the whole time because you're like, if I pick up this thing wrong, I might go into labor. And like, that's just not usually the case. Yeah. So that was one that just like, I was so excited and so happy to see her like have so much power and have so much confidence in herself and her body and her babies to do what it was designed to do. So that's that. And like I said, I love to see people go against the grain of what people say is dangerous. Right. Like those are my favorite births because it's like the look on the faces of the people who told that person, that woman, that she couldn't do that and then watch her do it is so empowering to me. And it is it's why I do this work because most of the people who look like us, we don't always have the support from the people closest to us to have that level of confidence in ourselves.
100%. 100%. And I think it's so wild too, because I, for some of you all that listen, you know, my birth story, I was lucky in the sense that I found an OB that listened to the fact that I wanted a vaginal birth. And even though my baby B was breached, which I think one thing that like Chanel's even getting to is like knowledge is power. And understanding your body is meant to do something. And if there's need for medical intervention, it's not an either or. It's not like I'm going to be out in these fields by myself, y'all, nothing around. Like, it's not that. It's just having the knowledge and advocating for yourself to see what you're able to do and have people around you to support that. Because it took me like 3 different OBs that were like, nah, we're going to do C-section. Now you're going to do twin high risk, C-section. Even though this was my second birth, like I've already like had a vaginal birth. I know my body knows what to do. Like, you have a baby B's breech, so that's not gonna happen. And I finally had OBs like, I have experience with breech babies. I think you could do it. We know by like you having your first baby, this can happen. We'll try and turn her around. If it's not possible, we'll just bring her out breech. I was like, wait, what? You're gonna do that for me? And I was like, you're my OB. Like, that was lucky and blessed. And also, it's not everyone's story as a high-risk twin pregnancy. You're gonna go into, which is fine. You'll go into the medical profession. A lot of us are just told, here's your C-section date. And that's fine. If you want to do that, that's great. But there are other options. Yeah. And just knowing what those options are and having the language and the knowledge to support in that, to be like, hey, by the way, I know you said that I can't have a baby because it's breech, but I've also read that this is possible. Do you know that I've already had just having the knowledge that my baby A, again, was like bigger than baby B, which actually makes it easier to pull them out the birth canal. There were just little things that my OB told me about like why it was possible that I didn't even know, but I had someone to talk to me about it. Yeah. So saying that my story is not a singular one, I just know that there's a lot of twin parents who are just pushed into having one single singular birth story and knowledge is power. So I just love that. And I love that twin mom that you help support in that way, because that just sounds like she's a freaking goddess. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, she did so well. She did so well. And then the other story was a breech mom, actually.
Ooh.
I was supporting her in person here. And she did all the things. She was supposed to have a birth at a birth center. But that birth center in particular did not deliver breech babies vaginally. Mm. So they did the version at 38 weeks to try to turn the baby, and baby was not interested in being turned. And at that point, This particular birth center was like, we're going to have to transfer you over to hospital because we cannot, they were not skilled. Those particular midwives were not skilled to deliver baby vaginal breech. Mm-hmm. And so she was very determined. Like, she's also a believer. And so, you know, we did a lot of like praying and like getting some clarification of like, what is God giving you the vision of right now? And she's like, mm-hmm. I want to do this vaginal breech. And so thank God we found a provider who would take her on. And kind of like what you were saying, there are not many providers, unfortunately, anymore that are skilled in breech, because that's just not what they're teaching anymore. And so there are providers who are skilled in, trained and experienced in delivering breech babies, but they're far and few between. Yes. And so to find one is just really hard. It's really unfortunate, but it's really hard. And then the ones who do, it's not like they promote it on their website. Like, right. Vaginal breech babies here. Like, you have to like know somebody to know somebody.
Yeah, know somebody to know somebody for sure.
So like, we were so grateful because she ended up getting, we ended up finding somebody through like a vaginal breech Facebook group that like they would talk about their, it's like a breech babies Facebook group. It has like hundreds of thousands of people in this group, and they just talk about their experiences, the providers, like that's how we found this provider. And so she ended up switching to him at 39 weeks. And that's unheard of in like the transfer world. So she ended up finding this provider at 39 weeks. She ended up going into labor at 39 and 3. And so she like known this person for a matter of 20 minutes, basically. And then a couple of days later went into labor. And so she's laboring at home, but like we knew all the movements, knew all the positions, but the only place that she was comfortable was on the toilet. So I went over, and most people, like, they hate being on the toilet during labor.
Yeah.
So she was only comfortable on the toilet. So she spent like hours at our house on the toilet. And I went over to her house. We were laboring. I was trying to get her to move around. She was like, I need to go back to the toilet. So we like spent some time on the toilet. She ended up getting to the hospital, and she started to feel a little pushy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, let's head to the hospital. And when we got there, she was 9 centimeters. And like, you would never know. Like, a lot of my clients are like this. Like, you would never know that they were this far along in the journey, because she was just like calm demeanor, confident. Yeah. Like, she knew that like something was happening, but like, and you know, contractions were intense, but not like, she was still so calm. So we got there, they're 9 centimeters, we're laboring. Now, mind you, nobody in this hospital besides this provider at this point, to my knowledge, had ever seen a breech birth before.
Right.
So one of their stipulations was like, when it's time for her to push, they rolled her to the OR just in case
something happened. Yeah.
And wasn't my favorite, but you got to give some, and you know,
yeah,
he's going to give. And I think that was a reasonable compromise
request. Yeah.
So, she gave birth vaginally to this baby breech, and everything was great. And like, all the nurses were like, like, I've never seen this happen.
Yes.
This is the first time we've seen a breech baby. You did so great. And she was just so cool, calm, and collected the whole time. And it was just so empowering for me again, because I'm like, y'all would have counted this woman out from the beginning. Like, right. You would have counted her out. Right. And she might not have had this experience had this provider not taken her on.
100%.
And I think it's so unfair for women. Like, yes, there are risks associated with a breech birth, and there are risks associated with a C-section, and there are risks associated with a medicated vaginal birth, and just a normal vaginal birth. Like, there are risks with everything. I think it just comes down to how confident do you feel in this process? How educated are you in this process? Because I always have to tell people, like, we've been giving birth in the fields since the beginning.
Yes.
Like, God, you don't have to give birth in a field, right?
Right.
But like, and yes, there were tragedies then, just like there are now. But to me, like, your body has, like, the woman's body in 1919 and the woman's body in 2023 are still made the same.
Yes.
There's nothing different about how the creator created that body versus how the creator created our bodies to, like, all of a sudden need all this medical intervention and support.
Yes.
So yeah, those two stories were like two women who I supported who like have gone against the grain of like what society says is dangerous.
Yes. I love that. And so it's interesting you were saying that she got wheeled into the OR, because like most twin births, even if you're having a vaginal birth, they put you in the C-section room
yeah.
because it's twins or triplets, whatever, it's high risk, like just in case anything goes wrong. And I remember getting wheeled into there and there's a bunch of knives. There's like 25 people because nobody has seen a vaginal breech birth, right? And twins. And so I just remember looking at my husband like, what the hell? Why are all these people? And just like, even if I had like someone that knew, like a doula, I'd be like, hey, this is okay. This is what's happening. Like, no one would check it in on me. I just had like people putting out scalpels and like not one. It was just like, I was just randomly like someone to look at. Right. Yep. And like, I still got through, I was holding my husband's hand, but like, it can be so scary and intimidating and things happen so fast in the birth experience. The fact that she got there at 9 centimeters and homie was like, homegirl was like calm. Like that is just wild to me. Girl, your girl had the medicine, y'all. Like I would like to think I would be like strong enough, but no, your girl was medicated and that is fine. But like the fact that I was able to do vaginal birth was great. But like, I can't imagine that. Real talk, the fear of like, if I were to do it again, the only reason like, I want to be the mom is like, I'm going to do no drugs. I'm going to be on Medicaid. I can do this. But your girl was like, hell to the gnaw with that pain in my mind. Like I was so scared. And I know you did a post on like the fear of the unmedicated birth, the natural birth. Tell me a little bit more about like, if someone is considering going on that natural path, is it as scary as I'm thinking it is in my mind? Like, what do you say to that? What advice do you give? How do you go about that?
So it's only as scary as your mind tells you. Like your brain is so, so powerful in this whole process that like most of my clients, we spend the majority of our time working on the mind throughout pregnancy. It's not because the physical stuff for most women, even for somebody who doesn't work out, like the physical stuff is not the hard part. Like you can get yourself into a lunge position. You can get yourself to march around the room. Like these are very elementary, basic level movements that you do probably on a daily basis, whether you're picking something up or you're walking up some stairs, like you do these things naturally. For the woman who's afraid of the pain of birth or just like having an unmedicated birth, like what I would tell her is one, knowledge is power. Like you said earlier, like the more, you know, for a lot of us, the more we know, the more comfortable we feel because we are at least understanding of the process. Like we have an idea of what to expect. And of course, for a mom who's never given birth before, the whole thing of like, well, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what I'm going to be getting myself into. But like in my case and how I like work with my clients is like, you can know what to expect. Like you can know what to expect. You may not know step one, this is going to happen. And like, it's not, no birth is predictable unless you are having a scheduled C-section. And still, that's still not super predictable other than the date.
Yes.
But you can know what to expect if you know. Like you have to really get around people who have done what you want to do. And this is life. Like this isn't just birth, but like life in general. If you want to be the six-figure content creator, you should get yourself around some other six-figure content creators. Same thing with birth. If you want to have a positive experience, you need to surround yourself and only allow and filter in the things of the people who've been where you want to be. And that's not to say like, oh, well, if you don't talk to people who have had painful, traumatic birth experiences, like you're just living in a bubble. No, because those women had the same risks that the women who had traumatic birth experiences had. Like we all carry a level of risk in our decisions. So I would say for one, get educated. For two, surround yourself and close your circle to the people who are actually going to help you and empower you to get closer to your goal. A lot of my clients have to cut their family off from conversations about birth, especially when you're considered high risk. Cause you know, the decision of me going out of hospital for my second birth, they were like, well, what if you have a child? Well, what if something happens? What if there's an emergency? Well, then I'm going to go to the hospital where emergencies take place. Well, what if you don't have enough time? Well, I trust my midwife enough to where if she sees signs that something is going to go wrong, it's in her best interest as a businesswoman and to get me to the place that's not going to allow me to die.
Right.
Like, or save me from whatever she doesn't have the capabilities of doing like a C-section. Right.
Yeah.
So it's important to really surround yourself with a team who can educate you, support you, encourage you, guide you through this process. And then the last thing would be you really have to work through your fears because like I said, your pain tolerance has nothing to do with birth. And that's like completely, nobody would like even people like for me, I would say I have a pretty high pain tolerance, and being induced is very painful. Like for me in that moment, it was very painful and I didn't know anything. So like there was a factor of what I just said that like, okay, I have a high pain tolerance. I was super confident in myself from a blind way. The first time I was blindly ignorant and blindly of myself because I knew nothing. Like I had no so that part, like the fact that I had no knowledge really like wiped the other two out. But when you begin to work through your fears, you'll understand that from a biological perspective, fear is connected to pain. So the more fearful you are and the more fear you carry and the more you anticipate a fear to happen or something shows you and gives you like inkling that something that you're afraid of is about to happen, you naturally tense up. You're going to tense up because you're worried, you're scared. And when you're tense, you're going to experience more pain because your body is literally fighting itself against what's happening. It can't receive it. And the best analogy that I have when I teach is that it's called the fear, tension, pain cycle. But in short, if you're getting in a car accident, you see the car accident coming, most likely you're going to like grip your steering wheel, tense up because like you see yourself about to crash, you know what's about to happen. That's the like anticipation of fear. And maybe because you, maybe some of us fear getting in a car accident, who knows?
Right.
But you see it happening and you're afraid of what's going to happen when you crash into the back of this car or this car crashes into you. You tense up. And then when impact happens, you have tight muscles, and tight muscles against impact, it hurts. Like it hurts. So a lot of the people who are getting into these car accidents, who see them coming, they're the ones who end up walking away with broken bones. They're more hurt versus the drunk driver. The drunk driver is not paying attention. They're living their best life because they're just young, wild, and free. Their body is also wild and free. So when their body crash or when they crash into the car, their body is like not tense. It's going with the flow of the car. And in many cases, those people walk away more unharmed, more, you know, or less hurt than the other person. And they don't experience as much pain because their body was receiving and going with what was happening. It didn't, you know, it didn't oppose the force that was happening on their bodies. So that's like the best analogy that I can give is like when you receive what's happening and the waves that are happening in your body, it doesn't hurt as much. Still intense because you're giving birth to a child. It's still intense, but the way that you experience it is very different than somebody who's fighting against it, embracing themselves against what their body is naturally doing, whether you want it to or not. So, I would just tell people like get educated and also like just understand that you can do this. But if you keep telling yourself that you can't, then like, you're not going to experience it.
The power of the mind is just wild. And I think you're so right because I have a huge threshold for pain. Like I do. I know that I worked out like consistently. I was built to do. I just like a couple people, I was like, well, what if I didn't like, you know, I did unmedicated. They're like, well, why? Are you crazy? What if? I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, and I just, especially like my family, like Black women, like my mom was like, girl, you better be at the hospital. And like her doctor friend was like, you should just get a C-section. I was like, but so like, I compromised and had a vaginal medicated birth, but like, I wonder if I just blocked out that noise and listened to me and like got like that fear out, like just what would have been possible. So yes, advice to anyone listening, your mind is powerful to the people around you. So like talk to your mind and that inner voice and dialogue is important. Or with your body when it's time to give birth. So I'm like, I'm curious, like in my next life or whatever happens, if I'll be like able to just be in tune with like my natural abilities. But I love that so much. Okay. So if someone's looking to hire a doula, like I didn't realize like not each doula has the same philosophy of birth. Like what kind of questions should someone consider when they're looking for the perfect doula for them for their birth?
So I think it also, like you said, what is their philosophy? Like how do they view birth? What has their experience been in like supporting women in whatever it is that you want to achieve? I think it's also important to understand like what their value systems are, because I think if you, let's say, are somebody who wants a Christian doula and that person who you're interviewing isn't a Christian, then like maybe your philosophies and your values aren't going to align in the moment that you need them to align. I think it's also important to know like how involved they are. I tend to be on the more involved side with my clients. Some doulas like do two prenatal visits or like, visits, I guess, two prenatal visits. They're with you in labor, and then they do one postpartum visit. Wow. Like, how involved, yeah, how hands-on, how much communication do you want to be able to have with this person? Like I said before, I tend to be pretty hands-on. So like, yeah, my clients and I text and call, wow, each other frequently.
God bless you. That's a lot.
So it's, yeah, like we become, yeah, like a lot of my clients become like family to me.
Right.
So that's this, but I also understand from a doula's lens, like when you do have that level of involvement with your client, like you probably can't take on 5-6 clients in a month because you can't give that kind of time to 5-6 people and have a family. Like, that's, yeah, hard. I also think it's not a necessary thing, but I also think, like, has that person either supported the type of birth experience or had the type of birth experience you want? And I know that's not always the case, but I personally, from my lens, I don't know that I would be the doula that I am without having had that C-section.
Yes.
Like, I don't think that if my first birth was like what my second and my third birth was, I don't know that I would be a doula. I don't know that would have led me to a doula because I didn't see the other side. I just heard about it. 100%. So I think it's important to know, like, that your doula either is knowledgeable, very knowledgeable enough to like be able to navigate those situations with you. She's supported somebody or she's experienced it herself. And then lastly, like, how does she navigate and operate, especially for women of color? Like, how do you, what does advocacy for you look like? I had a mom who is, she's almost a month postpartum now. And this is a Black woman, and her doctor did a complete bait and switch on her, meaning like told her all these things during their appointments, like, oh yes, I support your birth plan. I do this, I do that. And I'm on the same page as you. And then like completely like did a lot of fear mongering on, wow, her in the labor. And she was one of those moms, like she had been laboring a little bit and then, things kind of slowed down a little bit. And then she had an appointment the next day. Contractions had started up again, but they were still like reasonable, manageable. Right. She showed up to her prenatal appointment. It was her 38-week appointment. And she was 8 centimeters. And they were like, what would it like, huh? Go to the hospital?
Yeah.
Maybe soon. So we went to the hospital and like, this mom was laboring, doing her thing. She was like one of the calmest moms that I've had. Like, a lot of my moms are calm, but like, she was like really just
really calm,
chilling,
wow,
at 8 centimeters. And so, I had to do a lot of advocating for this mom because the kind of energy that her provider started to bring into the room, like, I've, wow, never had to advocate this hard for a client before because the providers usually didn't like push this hard. But this provider, she had to get some stuff done in the OR after she had the baby because she had a retained placenta. So they had to do some like operating to get all of her placenta, yeah, out. And like the amount of advocacy that I had to do, wow, for this mom was like insane. Like, I had to, yeah, like, when I tell you, like, I've never been so like tight at a birth because I'm like, what you're not going to do is like, right, allow my client to be by herself. Like, what we're, right, not going to do is like roll her away from her new baby and her husband, yes, to get this operation done.
No.
And not have somebody next to her. Like, I'm sorry. And this may, I don't know the demographic of your audience, but like and I had to tell this nurse, I was like, I'm going to tell you something. And I've never said this to a nurse before. This scene with this Black woman is looking, mm-hmm, oddly familiar, and I'm not really feeling comfortable with this. So I need to get to that room because the husband wants somebody next to her side and I need to be by her side because this mom is going to be going under anesthesia. She's not going to remember anything that's happening. And if something, right, were to happen to her, who is going to speak up for her? Like, nobody, because y'all are going to defend yourselves. 100%. So I had to like really go hard because they were not trying to let anybody in the room. And I was like,
how?
I'm going to tell y'all this. Y'all understand Black maternal health. And this, yes, scene is looking really familiar and not really a good scene, uh-huh, with good outcomes. And they finally ended up letting me back into the room. They were not happy about that. But they ended up, and I just was like, I'm not letting this go. Like, y'all are trying to kill some time. So I'm saying that, I'm sharing that story to say she was fine. She's wonderful. Yes. Baby's great. And will your doula advocate for you, yes, if there were a true emergency? Or does this person kind of like side with the medical professional?
Yes.
It doesn't have to be always I go against a medical professional, but it is, you need to be educated enough to know, like, yeah, I'm not leaving my client by herself.
100%.
So, oh, yeah.
Gosh, I'm just like, that gives me chills because My demographics mixed, but like Black maternal health, y'all, like from birth to breastfeeding, there is just so many different discrepancies that happens in this group. So just the fact that like you were able to advocate, like you're not able to do that after, like she just gave birth, she's going under anesthesia, like that's not going to be a priority for her, or even have the language to have someone, and your partner may or may not even know how, like the fear mongering is real. Like it is so real. That's the standard default a lot of times, unfortunately, for medical professionals. So just having that like advocate that isn't about that life is just like priceless. Yeah. I know we're about to wrap, but is there anything that we didn't share that you think would be really valuable for some of our listeners to hear, or any advice you would give someone starting out on this journey?
Find your people and find your power. You got to start there. Find your power and what the vision you have for your birth is, and do not allow the labels to hold you back from what you're trying to experience. There are people out there, there are providers out there that can support you in the things that you're trying to accomplish. And yes, there will be times where things will be certain, you know, high risk situations. And even if you are high risk, I want to encourage you to know that it can still be a positive experience. Yes. You can still have a positive experience in the hospital. You can still have a positive experience with being high risk. You can still have a positive C-section. Like I've had clients who've had C-sections and it's been very positive because they were the ones who determined what this was going to look like. So I just want to encourage you to get around the right people, because sometimes you just need that one person in your corner who's going to tell you like, yes, you can.
Right.
Or help you understand your options and do what your body was already designed to do. It may not be the people who you spend the most time with right now.
Yep.
It may not be the people you love the most. It may not even be your partner. But I guarantee you that if your partner, and once your partner becomes educated and you become educated, your philosophy and your outlook on birth will be completely different, because you will know, like, if my body could form and create two babies, my body can most likely birth these two babies as well. But understanding understanding the process is really important. And unfortunately, you're probably not going to get all of that from Google or social media, because the internet also is not going to give you all the nitty gritty things that, like, we're giving you the textbook, right? You're getting the textbook version of these things, or you're reading people's blogs who all have very different opinions.
100%.
So just find your people who are, like, again, knowledgeable, educated, who've done what you want to do, and like lean on them and let that be your voice for the entire pregnancy, instead of like trying to like dabble between all these bloggers, all these doulas, all these doctors, and like trying to form it yourself. Like, it's just not worth the stress. So you can do this. You can do this. And that's the advice.
I love it so much. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. Now, where can my listeners find you? Are you taking on new clients? Like, where do they look for you? Where do they find your resources? What do they do?
Yes. So I'm on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. I have a blog as well. So you can find me at aworkingmama.com or at aworkingmama on any of those platforms. I do have a group coaching program. So a lot of the stories that I've shared are women who've gone through the same group coaching program, whether I was in the room with them, on the phone with them, or not in the room with them at all. And it will take you from where you're at in your pregnancy and give you all the tools, all the knowledge, all the skills for you and for your partner to have all of the things that you need in addition to weekly coaching, so that you're not also doing this by yourself. So if that's something that you're interested in and you want this to be an intimate experience between you and your partner, that is how I support my families. And all the stories that I share, all of the women have gone through the same exact process and curriculum to get to the point where they're very confident and empowered walking into birth. And they know how to say no. They know how to say no confidently, not ignorantly, but confidently. And they get to be the ones to write their own birth story and not somebody else having so much influence that they did it for them. So that's how you can find me. All that is on all those platforms.
Yes. You make me have another baby just so I can hire you straight up. My husband's about to kill me. We do not have any more babies, but we did. Yo.
If you change your mind.
Mama with an E too, y'all. It's AWERKING Mama. I'll put the link in the bio. But thank you so much, Chanel. It's been wonderful. And that is it for today's episode of That's My Mama podcast. But before we bounce, I'm going to leave y'all with two requests. The first is, if you are enjoying this podcast, please follow along and leave us a 5-star review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, whichever your preferred platform is. These ratings do a lot for our engagement, but also gives us the inspiration, the push to keep on showing up for you all week after week with some great content that we are sure you're going to enjoy. And secondly, follow us on our socials. You can find me at That Twin Mama Podcast on Instagram and at That Twin Mama on YouTube. On Instagram, you'll see a lot of short form versions of these videos, but a lot of content that relates to the subject matter week after week that I'm sure you're going to love. So until then, again, thank you for showing up. Thank you for all your support. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Peace, y'all.